Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Yes, Jesus, the child of the shepherd. oh God, till we get so excited that we just want to love back on you just the same. Father, we ask you to bless the atmosphere, the four corners of the earth, as this word go forth to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Lord, let this word not return void, but let it accomplish what we sent it to do today. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' holy name. We are talking about today the message the Lord gave me on last night. I was trying my utmost best to bring this another way, but he kept on putting it right before my face, put it in my spirit last night, and he kept saying that we ought to praise the Lord while we are waiting. You ought to praise the Lord while you're waiting. While you're waiting what? While you're waiting for your breakthrough. There's so many people that are going through today. They have great expectations. They're looking, expecting the Lord to do something for them today. Yesterday, they're expecting the Lord to do something for them. But they don't understand that while they're waiting, while we are waiting, we ought to be praising the Lord. Yes, the doctors say you have cancer. Yes, the doctors say you have emphysema. Yes, the doctor says that your body, the arthritic pains are so bad in your body. The doctor said your ear is infected. Your eyes have a hole in the back somewhere that the eyes are breaking down. Your eyesight is getting dimmer. But the Lord says nothing is too hard for him. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You have to understand this. You have to feel this in your spirit, man, that while you are waiting, you have to have this. You have to have this hunger and thirst for righteousness, that while you are waiting, you like a hungry lion waiting for a bear. And you say, well, I'm going to, the lion would just stay there perching, waiting to see a deer. He just can hear the deer from a long distance. He can't see them, but he's waiting because he knows if he don't catch a deer today, he's gonna miss out to death. He said, no, I'm going to be patient. And while I'm patient, I'm just going to have a joyful spirit. I'm going to have a joyful heart because I know that my Lord is going to supply for me. You got to have that same kind of thirst, that same kind of drive while you're waiting for the Lord. No, don't get into a pity party. You know, we quick, God, I don't know when the Lord is going to work this out for me, but I'm just going to wait here. No, you ought to be praising him. Be excited about waiting. Hallelujah. Why are you going to wait for something if you're not excited for it? When a man is dating, when a woman is dating, oh, she excited. She wants to see her man. He wants to see his woman. Oh, he's so excited. My granddaughter, she's dating a young man. Now they both go to college, and she is excited. When she know that he coming over or she going to talk to him, she's excited. She can't wait to talk to him on the phone. Oh, glory to God. She is excited because she said, this is my boyfriend. This may be my husband. You understand how it is? Well, we got to have that same tenacity while we're waiting for Jesus. We're waiting with expectancy. We're waiting, oh God, with a great hope and faith that Jesus is able to do what we want. Let's go into the Word of God. The Word is already blessed. You ought to praise the Lord while you are waiting. Psalm 22. We're going to do this whole psalm, and then we're going to hit a couple other places and just pray and get out of here quick, fast today. David is speaking, and this is to the chief musician to set the tune of Eliezer, Hashaphah, behind of the morning dawn, a psalm of David. My Lord, my God, why has you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? David is crying out to the Lord. His enemies are coming after him. His son Absalom, King Saul, wants to kill him. But David is crying out to the Lord. He knows that his help only comes from the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth. So he's crying out to the Lord. He is crying out, he's groaning, he's mourning. So Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus said the same thing on the cross when he was hung on a cross for all sins, not for something that he did. He was hung on a cross for all sins. And he said this to the Lord. He said this to the Father. Matthew 27:46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, lama sabachthani. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, David is saying this even before God said, and God is saying it. Jesus is saying it on the cross to his Father. Why hast thou forsaken me? But Jesus still knows that he trusts the Father, because he said he only do what the Father say do. He only speak what the Father say speak. He was obedient even unto death. Back to Psalm 22, verses 2. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you answer not. And by night, I am not silent or find no rest. David is telling the Lord here in this psalm. He said, I'm crying all the time, but I'm not getting no answer from you. But David is not giving up. Even in the nighttime, he has no rest. There's no peace in his spirit, man. But he's still calling out to the Lord. He's shaking, he's trembling, because the enemy is coming against him. And David is crying to the Lord. You may be saying today, my finances is shaking. Times are tough. I don't have any food in the cupboard. The fridge looks empty. I don't have any gas in my car. Matter of fact, you may say, I don't even have a car. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My son is sending me text messages. He don't have a license, but he wants to have a car. And I know as soon as he get a car, he's going to drive. He's not going to wait till he gets a license. And I don't want to put any money in him getting a car right now, when I know he's going to drive. And if he gets stopped without a license, he's going to go to jail. And I don't want to be part of that. You know, I'll give him the money to get the car. But not now, when he get a license. I have to use sense, as much as I love to see him with a car. Sometimes you have your children want to do stuff. You can't be in agreement with it, because when things go down, you're gonna bear the crunch. You say, why did I do that? Then your spirit man, your soul man, you're going to, God don't give us some stuff because he knows. He's a father. And sometimes he says, I want the Lord. I don't know why the Lord didn't bless me with a husband. I don't know why the Lord didn't bless me with a wife yet. But God knows you're not ready for a wife yet. You want a wife, but you're not ready for a wife. He knows you're not ready for a husband. You want a husband, but you're not ready for a husband. You don't know how to care for a husband, how to love them unconditionally. You don't know how to treat a woman, a wife, but you want a wife. And God said, I'm not going to give you yet. I got a wife for you. I got a husband for you, but I'm not going to give you yet. You got to get your act together. You have to save some money. You got to save money. You got to make provisions for when the wife comes that you're going to be able to take care of. You got to make provisions that when your husband chooses you, that you're going to the streets looking for another man. You still want to go clubbing. You got to know that you got to be ready to give up all of that stuff if you're going to get married. See, so God said, no, I'm not going to bless you with that yet. You know, I'm going to bless you with things that I know you need right now. But what you want, I'm not going to give to you now because you're not ready for them. See, watch what it says. David crying out. He said in the nighttime, I'm not silent. Or I see, in other words, I'm praying to you all the time. I don't find no rest. I'm seeking you, Lord. But you are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. David begin to praise him. David has no rest. He has no peace. But he begin to exalt God. He begin to magnify God. He said, but you are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. All fathers trusted in you. They trusted, leaned on, relied on you, and were confident. And you deliver them. David began to remind God of all that he had done before for his ancestors. Can you look and see that all we come, how they brought us out of Africa and took us to all of the different nations and different places that they take us, to take our forefathers. But we still survived as much as they treated us in the current field, our forefathers. Despite how bad they treated our foreparents in the cotton fields, in the cane fields, we still survive as a race. Even now that the sand is trying to kill us with all these different viruses and all of these different medications that they shoot in our bodies. And those who are foolish enough, I was foolish enough to take one shot, but I'm not taking any boosters or none of that stuff. I took the shot because my mother-in-law was getting so old, and I didn't want to be ostracized, not able to go to see her because I didn't take the shot. And if something had happened to me, that she may get infected, but I never got infected. I just took the shot to please the family members, but I'm not taking them all that stuff. No boosters, no nothing. And I pray that God wash all of that stuff out of my body. Because they said within 2 years, that stuff going to activate in your bloodstream and people going to start to die. That's what they're saying. I don't know how true because I'm not a scientist. But I got to work with how my spirit is telling me now, don't take no more of that stuff. Now here in the book of Psalms, we're talking about the word that we're saying today. You are to praise the Lord while you're waiting. While you're waiting for what? While you're waiting for your healing. While you're waiting for deliverance. Waiting for your wife, for your husband. Why are you waiting to get impregnated for your husband? Why are you waiting for your wife to get impregnated? Why are you waiting for a new job, a raise on the job, to get a new car, to get a car at all? Why are you waiting to get your first home? Why are you waiting for your husband to come to you, your wife to come? You got to praise the Lord. We got to praise the Lord. Go sit down and be in the pity party. All you're doing is whining and crawling and complaining instead of praising God. God knows what you're waiting for. Praise him while you're waiting. David says that our forefathers, they leaned on God, they relied on God, and they had confidence in God, and God delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you, leaned on you, and confidently relied on you and were not ashamed or confounded or disappointed. Listen. You can't be ashamed while you're waiting on the Lord. You can't be ashamed in your praise. A lot of times we can shout in the church building, and we can shout in the revivals. We can shout in the prayer service. But when we get outside, we become dumbfounded. We become dumbfounded and confounded and disappointed. We don't want to call out the name of Jesus. We don't want to tell anybody that we are saved. I was in the courthouse a few weeks ago praying for some things. And the lady, that the clerk that was attending to me, she began to get excited. She said, not only can you, so I tell her who I was, you know, how my life has changed from who I used to be. And she says, pray for us for healing, but you can fix all plumbing and all, because I was telling her that I am a plumber and an air conditioning technician and all that stuff. We had a good conversation, but I also told her that I was a member of the clergy. She said, well, your life has came a long way, Minister Callender. You can't be ashamed of testifying of what God has done for you. That's the problem. The Bible said that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we no longer love our lives unto death. It is in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. See, we got to be bold. Be bold, hallelujah, about our testimony. I couldn't this do this and I couldn't do that. He says that, listen what he says. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, and all that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice singing in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuses them before God day and night, the devil. He said, and the Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. No. That's verse 9, 10, and 11 of Revelation chapter 12. See, these folk was praising God. They were excited. They didn't care if they lose their life for the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we can tell another Christian, another believer of the wonderful works of Christ. We can tell. We don't mind talking in the church and saying how excited we are. We are excited about what he did. But we don't want to tell the unbeliever. We don't want to say to the unbeliever that hate us and want to do us harm. We don't want to tell them that Jesus died for us and that he died for them. Hallelujah. We make them feel that we don't like them the way we act because of what how they are sinning, the lifestyle they are living. We forget about the lifestyle that we used to live. We forget about the lifestyle that we used to live. Go back to Psalms 22, verse 6. He said, I am a worm and no man. I am the scorn of men and despised by the people. What was Jesus in Matthew chapter 27? Now, David is telling the Lord. He's telling the Lord. He is such so humble right here in this passage right here. He has humbled himself before the Lord. He says, I am a worm. A worm is something that is just crawling through the trash in the dirt. I mean, like nothing. And you know, the birds pick them up and eat them. You crush them with your feet. You think that the worm is, you look at a worm like, I just crushed that worm. I don't care. You don't have any compassion for them. He says, I am a worm. This is how low he thinks of himself. And no man. I am the scorn of men. People despise me. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 39 to 44, listen to what Jesus is saying. He's talking to the Father. 39 to 44. He's on the cross. And they that passed by reviled him and wagging their heads. People are mocking him. He's on the cross. Jesus is on the cross. The same thing that happened to David in this Psalm 22. Jesus, only thing different to David and Jesus, that David didn't go to the cross. But he made himself now as nothing before the Lord. Because why? His son is trying to kill him. The king is trying to kill him, the one that God had already rejected. He is still king. Saul is still king, but God rejected him. He asked Samuel, why are you still mourning for Saul, seeing that I've already rejected him? God had already chosen David to be king. But David now knows that Saul wants to kill him and his son Absalom wants to kill him. We're talking about that the subject matter today, this morning, this glorious morning that the Lord has made, that you ought to praise the Lord while you're waiting. And I say, hey, I leave that with a question mark, while you're waiting. So you got to know while you're waiting, what you are waiting for. And while you're waiting for what you're waiting for, you ought to praise the Lord. David is waiting for deliverance. He is waiting for God to defend him against his enemies. But while he is waiting, he's praising God. And not only is he praising God, he's a warrior. He's not just a soldier. He's a warrior for God. But he's praising God, and David is making himself so small before God. He's not saying, God, you know, I'm a warrior to you. I'm fighting for you here in the earth. He says, but I am a worm. Verse chapter 22, verse 6. He said, I am a worm. No, I'm no man. I am the scorn of men. People are despised by the people. And here we see how the scripture tied in here with Jesus. Jesus on the cross. He says, verse 39 of Matthew 27. And they that passed by reviled him. They're mocking him, wagging their heads. They're making all types of hissing at him, talking down at him, at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords while he's on the cross for their sins, for our sins, for the sins of the world. They don't know who he is. And saying that thou destroyest the temple. The saying that thou destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Say thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saith others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Verse 43 says, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Verse 44 says, the thieves also, there's the two men on the cross, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. One of the thieves began to insult Christ on the cross. This is what cast the thief. The thief, the same. They begin to insult Christ on the cross. Now you see the one that who should have recognized who he was, they recognize. This is why you have so many leaders today, preachers and teachers of the gospel, and they won't stand up for the truth. They preach it so they can get lucre, so they can get money, so they can get bigger homes, better cars, better planes, better yachts and all this kind of stuff. But they don't have this disposition inside of them with a great love for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How do you know that, Apostle? Because if they did, their lifestyle will show it. But the only disposition that they have is that they want to be recognized by the other fellow servants, the ones who are apostles like them, bishops like them, elders like them, those who have big churches like them. That's how they want to look. They want to look good to the, oh God, go to John chapter 5. I just heard this one. John chapter 5. Oh Lord, I just heard that in my spirit. Jesus, help me. John chapter 5. Listen what they want. These are the people. Jesus speaking here. He says, oh Lord, let's see where we hit this from. Let's hit this from verse 39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are their which testify of you. The scriptures speak about us. About us. All of us are testifying that we know God, but not even living for him. They are exposing us because the scriptures tell the truth. Listen to what he says. He says, and you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, then you will receive. Listen to that. Preachers are coming in. And people can't wait to get to the crusade. They can't get ready to get to what they call the so-called revival, because Bishop so-and-so is coming to town. Our prophet so-and-so is coming to town. Prophetess so-and-so is coming to town. You know what I'm saying. And they get the best dress, the best wig, the best suit, the best shoes. They're all dressed up to show the part, to look the part. They walk with elegance. They walk with pride. Their chests are pushed up because they want to be recognized in the revival, in the conference, in the convocation. Listen to what he says. How could you believe which receive honor one from another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? They don't believe him. Because the only honor they're looking for is the honor from each other. Do you get your apostle ring yet? Do you get your bishop ring? Look, I got my bishop ring. I got my apostle ring. I got my chain. I got my cross around my neck, my gold cross. I'm looking the part. But you see, the funny thing is that we're trying to look real good outside. Apostle Washington talks about a couple of years ago, she don't say too much, but she said it a couple of years ago, that they look good on the outside, but they're like a whitewashed tomb. A whitewashed tomb is look nice outside. The patient comes, the grave digger comes in, the one that takes care of the cemetery, he comes, and the person may pay, the family members might pay the grave, the cemetery caretaker, to go and take care of the tomb for their family members. They got six or seven family members, big tomb. And they would go and paint the tomb outside. They usually paint it white. They don't paint it in black or yellow or green. They paint it white because they want it to stand out. But inside that sepulcher or that tomb is stinking bones, rotten bones, parasites, hallelujah. They stink on the inside, and that's the way we are. That's the way we become. We try to make the outside look real good for each other, so we can be glorified, or we can have great exhortations from each other. And while God is looking on the inside and can't find nothing on the inside that suffices Him, I'm talking about we ought to be praising. We ought to praise the Lord while we're waiting on our blessing, or deliverance, or restoration, or healing, or wife, or husband, or car, or whatever, promotion. We ought to praise Him. What would we do? I don't understand. I've been waiting for this. The doctor said this. The doctor said that. I've been waiting on the Lord. Why does it take so long? Abraham says, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? While you're waiting, can you still praise Him? It's not on your time. It's not on my time. It's not on our time. God said, I can't believe Him. Because they're receiving honor from each other. They're not trying to get the honor that comes from God. They want to receive promotion and glorification from each other. They want somebody to say, man, you was really getting off on that revival. You did real good. Nobody got healed. Nobody got saved. Nobody got delivered. But they said, oh, preacher, man, you were preaching real strong. Oh, man, I couldn't stand still. I couldn't stand still while you were preaching. To God be the glory. If my preaching touch you and cause you to cry, may cause you to weep, God, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. But I pray that my preaching draw you closer, draw us closer to Him. I pray that what I hear today draw me closer to Him. Listen to what He said. Let's go back here. See? They begin to talk. They begin to mock Jesus. The priests and the scribes, the elders. These are people that are part of the synagogue. In today's time, we call it people that are part of the church. They're supposed to glorify Him. They're supposed to pray that in spite of we going through trials and tribulations. Jesus didn't say that we're going to be rich. He didn't say you're going to have a Rolex watch and you're going to have diamond bracelets and all that kind of stuff. He said, in this world, you will have trials and tribulations. You see, you're going to suffer for His name's sake. There's no crown without suffering. You got to suffer to get your crown. Hallelujah. This is why the people are coming against us. Can we still stand? Can we still stand in the midst of the spiritual storm that we're going through? They're coming against the church like never before. I'm not talking about the Catholics, because the Catholics are not Christians. They're not Christians. They're not saved. They're not sanctified. They're worshiping a statue called Mary. They're worshiping satanic idols. But I'm talking about the ones that are sanctified in the spirit man. Let's go to, let me see what I got here. Let me see. I read something somewhere in one of these computers. Let's go. Let's look at. Let's see what Jesus is looking at. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Oh, my God. I got to get this word up here quick, fast, and hurry. 1 Samuel. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. He said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Do you see that? Oh, Samuel has gone down here, down to Jesse's house, because God had already chosen the king. You remember in chapter 15, God had rejected Saul because of disobedience. We're talking about, you ought to praise the Lord while you wait, while you're waiting. All of us on this line are waiting for something, to see God do something for us. But while we're waiting, and we're professing that we are living for Christ, let us praise him. Let us glorify him. Let us exalt him. Let us, excuse me, let us allow people to see us as we are suffering, as we are going through our physical suffering, spiritual suffering. Let them see us praising God. Let them hear us praising God. Let them see our countenance light lit up with the glory of God. Do you hear me today? Don't walk around with a long face. I don't understand why God's waiting so long. I don't understand why I'm suffering. I don't have any food. I'm preaching the gospel, but I don't have any food. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that Jesus says. Jesus just got off of fasting and praying, talking to the Father. And the devil took him up to the high place. Matthew chapter 4. Let's go over there quick. This is not on the paper. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Just to show you, you got to know who you are and whose you are. That stuff. Matthew chapter 4. Listen to what he says. He said, and then when Jesus led, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You'll see that over there. Look over Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 14. You can write that scripture down. He says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. No. Your belly is aching after you finish fasting. After we finish fasting for 3 days, 7 days, 21 days, or 40 days, our upper intestine and lower intestine, middle intestine, are hurting. Hurting. Because we want to eat something. This is why they tell you that when you go eat, come off a fast, don't go and fill yourself with ice cream and cake and bananas and all this stuff that is too much for the intestines. You eat slow, a little bit. Wait, eat a little bit. Don't eat a whole, I've got to go down. You know, I love chicken. I love fried fish and fried chicken. Oh, I love barbecue ribs, spare ribs. Oh, I love them. I've got to get a rack and this stuff. No, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to stretch your intestines and make you uncomfortable, become uncomfortable. Jesus told him, he says, took Jesus out. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, he know who he is, command these stones to be bread. But he answered Jesus, he answered and said, it is written, this is Jesus, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The devil's not going to stop. Because you have to be prepared to praise God in the midst of everything that we are going through, in the midst of waiting for deliverance, in the midst of waiting for restoration, in the midst of waiting for him to stand up and defend us. He's almighty by us. We got to be ready, my God, to wait and praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was doing the job, I was putting in those tree borders. I was saying to the Lord, I'm going to help so many other people. It's not a lot of money. If I did it by myself, I'd have made a lot of money, but I had to share the profit, break the profits in half with the young man that was with me. You know, I got the skill. He had the license for that particular job. So anyway, we're working together. So I told myself I'm going to give people stuff. I'm going to help people, and I continue doing it. But I said I put some money aside to help my son to get a car. Because, you know, he just got out of prison, put his life together. Wife got a good job. She don't make a lot of money, but she got a good job. It's a decent job for her. And she's going to school. So I put some money aside. He didn't know. But I made a mistake, and I told him, I said, look, I thought that my son is just like when I was much younger. Very anxious. And most children are like that. They're very anxious. They want it. They live, they have, most of the young people today, not just my son, they have a microwave mindset. That's the, I had that mindset before they had microwaves. if I wanted something, I want it right now. I want it like yesterday. And I tell my son, I says, I got some money put down for you that when you get your license, because he lost the license when he was locked up. I'm just sharing this. I don't have to share it, but I'm sharing it because the Lord said put it on there. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody, family needs to hear this. We do too much for them, and we don't let them carry the weight that they need to carry so they can become the men and women that they need to be. We say, oh, I'm father, I'm mother, and I just got to do this. I just got to do this for them. No, you got to let, we got to let them, we got to let them learn how to carry their own cross. We got to let them know how, that's how they get strength. If we are always carrying the cross for them, they'll never know how to carry the cross. So, I made a mistake and told him we were tossing the, the little one evening, he called. We were talking to him. He said he's on his job and stuff. And he said he wanted to get a car. I said, well, you do find a car after you get your license. I said, after you get your license. I got some money saved in the savings. I'm not going to touch it. I put in the savings so it'll get a little interest while you're waiting. By the time you get your license next year, you can go and look for a car. Well, the boy started looking for a car already. He's running crazy. And I know if you get a car, I know one time when I my license was suspended somewhere in the 90s or 80s. It was suspended for 30 days. Man, it was a hard time, hard thing for me to do. I got this nice car sitting in front of the house on the driveway. And my mind is saying, get in the car, drive to the mall, get in the car, go to the store, get in the car, do this, go to, no! I wouldn't go. I wouldn't get it because I knew if I got stopped, I'm going to go to jail. You have to have this. You have to have this patience and this control over your spirit, man, over your flesh. Flesh said, I got to tell you one. If you get that car, he said another place. So somebody gave him a car. Somebody gave him a car. I mean, 200 some thousand some SUV. The car don't look too bad. But the car, that's the little SUV truck. It's a Chevy Avalanche. You know, it's like a truck and a car in one. You know, the back is all made where you can put store stuff back in. And the cab is extended cab. But I said, do you go and look at the cab? So I know the guy. And he just wanted. He said, I can have it in like it's run, but it needs some work. And he had like, you know, my son is all excited. Now he called if he needs some money. Send him $100, $740, $50, something, $80 to get a battery. He get a battery car. Don't start up. Start up, stop. Start up, stop. Wouldn't run. Then he found that he looked in the car. The car needs four motors for the windows. Three motors for three of the windows. Then two of the doors don't have no door panel, so you got to look for that. Then the console, you need a console cover. All this stuff going. So it got new brakes and new this. I said, but one thing ever, then he said, and maybe the wiring. I said, well, the wiring can be fixed, but you fix it. Then the paint the car in some kind of foolish paint that you have to strip the whole car in order to paint the car properly because the thing is all cracked. I said, now, you need to give that thing away and take it to the junkyard. Because I said, look, I have some money saved for you, but I'm not going to put no money. That's like buying, getting a cesspool and trying to make it right. You'll never get it right. It's a cesspool. All you're going to do is pour money into it. So he's now this morning early, Sunday morning, he's going to send a message to his mother and say, well, I want to talk to Dad. Is that up yet? He's all, I can hear him in my spirit. Apostle, I can hear him in my spirit. He's all panting. I can hear him. I'm laying in the bed. I can hear him in my spirit. She's in the living room. But in my spirit, I can hear him talking to her when she's coming to bring the message to me. No, his dad's death is resting. eyes up, but I'm leaning on the bed. You see, that's the rest. Mm-hmm. So he texted, and she coming there. I could hear my son talking through the message. The truck looks good. It's got 108,000. That's not a lot of miles on it. Nice truck, white Avalon. And right, nice. Don't have no scratches. The paint is good. Don't have to do nothing to paint. He says, the guy says it runs well. It only runs in second gear. Well, you're all right. You can fix the transmission. There's no problem. Or you can get a new transmission, $300 or $400. You know, we got places down here sell brand new transmission very cheap. $700, you can get a good transmission. Well, I could invest in that, you know. But I tell again, I said, no, I'm not planning to put money in that. It's his money I got in the back for him. I said, but I'm not planning to do that. When he do get the license in February, it's still going to have used trucks. It's going to be plenty of used trucks. My son, I ain't talked to him. I just talked to my wife. I never talked. He goes, Dad, you know. And I'm going to tell him straight up. I said, no, I can't do that. It's your money because I told the Lord I'm going to get to you. But I put it in the bank, put him off the job, and it's there for you. He wants, because I know, Apostle Bishop, I know if I do that, my son is going to go to jail.
My God.
I know that. I know this because mm-hmm. God already showed me that he's going to go to jail. He's going to drive that car. He's going to get stopped. He's going to get stopped driving that car without a license, and he's going to go to jail. Virginia don't play. Virginia's redneck city. It's redneck city.
God.
I can't do it. But here, let's go back. We got to get to this thing where we begin to praise God. Praise God. God will give you the answers that you need while you deal in difficult situations.
Yes.
Praising him because I praise God so much, not enough, but I praise him so much because you can never praise God enough. You can never, I don't care if you praise him 24, it's not enough for what he's done at Calvary.
Hallelujah.
I praise him every time I get a drop a little prayer because you don't have to be long praying. Brother, just thank you for this thing. That's a prayer. Lord, all of my thanks, Lord. That's a prayer. If you're doing all day, 24 hours a day, it's still not enough for what he did at Calvary. It's still not enough. You cannot praise him enough. If you give him all the money you can get, it's still not can pay for what he done at Calvary. He said, man, I'm at the church. I'm always at the church building. I'm always at the church building. Man, you don't care if you go there and you sleep. It still will not be enough if you sleep in the building for what he done. But David begins to cry to God. He said to God, this thing blew me away. He said, but I am a worm. I know, man, this is one that God handpicked. God handpicked him, and David is going through trials and tribulations, like God says. His life is at stake, and he's asking for God to meet him at his point of need. He's crying out to God. He said, I am a worm. I know, man. I am the scorn of men and despised by the people. Jesus was despised on the cross. All who see me laugh at me and mock me. Then they laugh and mock at Jesus on the cross. They shoot out their lips. They shake their head saying, he trusts and rolls himself on the Lord that he will deliver him. Let him deliver him. Isn't that what the priest and the rabbi and the Pharisees and all them people says when Jesus was on the cross? We read it just out in Matthew. They mock him. They laugh at him. The same thing. They're laughing at you. They're laughing at me. They're laughing at us because we have made a decision that we're going to live for Christ. So I don't know how they can do it. So much going on in the world. There's Mardi Gras. There's Carnival. Oh, there's nightclubs. There's cabaret going on. There's farmers' picnics and the music is playing and they're drinking corn liquor and they're drinking Labatt beer and Budweiser and Heineken and they're drinking gin and tonic and I can't understand. They don't seem to be having, can't have a good time. They don't understand we don't need that stuff to have a good time. We have the Holy Ghost. We no longer need that stuff to have a good time. I'm fired up on the inside. Can you hear them? I'm fired up on Jesus Christ, on the Holy Ghost. I'm a high time in the spirit. David's speaking, man. He says, they laugh at him and they begin to mock him, talking about how David trusted in the Lord. You see, Matthew chapter 27, verse 39 to and 43. Mark chapter 15, verse 29 and 30. Luke chapter 23 and 35. All these scriptures match up. He says, it's okay, my dear. He says, yet you are he who took me out of the womb. And you made me hope and trust when I was on my mother's breast. Oh, my God. David is talking to the Lord. How much are you willing to trust him and talk to him, depend on him? How much are you willing to spend time talking to him? We are praising him in spite of how our finances are shaky. They're not down. They're shaky. Our health is shaky. We're not in the hospital. Our body don't feel like when we were 23 years old, when we were 19, when we were 16. But we're not in the grave. We're not laying on a hospital cot. We're not behind the jail bars. Can we still praise him in spite of? That's what it's all about. Can we still praise him? Yes, the doctor giving me bad report about my health, about my heart, about my liver, about my kidneys, about my lungs. He was saying that the arteries are not fully open. Oh, my God. The brain, I got a lump in my breast. Can I still praise him? Do you know the lump in the breast is not bigger than your God?
Jesus.
I don't know. I got a message this morning. One lady was saying she needs faith. She had cancer, and they took all of the polyps out, all the cells out for the cancer. But now she's on some type of medication, and the medication is messing with her stomach. She don't want, with her heart, excuse me, the medication is messing with her heart. And she wants to get over the medication because it's making her heart act up strange. She needs prayer, she says. See, we got to trust God. One thing that happens, don't complain. Just trust God. Leave the complaining out. Your letter has said you're going to pray, don't worry. And if you're going to worry, don't pray. Hallelujah. Why we want to wait on God, so God says, thank you. Lord, the winds are shaking in the north, the south, the east, and the wind. But I thank you, Lord, because I know you control all the elements. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. My daughter's not acting right. My son is not acting right. But God, I know you're in control. Because you're the same God that said, let there be light, and there was light. You're the same one that stopped the waves when the waves were coming to drown the disciples in the boat. You're the one that tell the wind to be still. You control the waters, yes. Lord God. You've got to begin to speak to him.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Let stuff come and keep us out, take us out. Listen what he said. This is so powerful. He says, I was cast upon you from my very birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. See, we got to realize that nobody else can help us but God. I hear your Holy Spirit. When we get help from man, it's just temporary. It's just temporary. Hallelujah. You have somebody come today, Apostle, and pay our bills for us. And you bless, you say, oh, Lord, I was just wanting this. And Lord, I didn't know how I was going to do this, but Lord, you did it. Thank you, Lord. Man did it. Guess what? It's coming back. Before you can think, the next 30 days, the bill is right back there again. So we got to begin to praise God. Praise God for pain. Praise God for taking care of the situation. Don't praise the man. Don't praise the woman. Praise God because God set everything in motion for us. Everything. When Elijah went down to the river and the man lost his axe head, who do you think breaks up his axe head? Elijah? No, God. Elijah, praise God. We got to praise God because God is who caused the axe head to float. Not Elijah. God working through Elijah caused the axe head to float. Oh, the doctor gave me the medication. Oh, that medication. No, thanking God, praising God, praise God. David says, many souls like bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have hedged me in. Ezekiel chapter 39 and 18. Against me they opened their mouths wide like Lebanon and roaring lands. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. Fear has overtaken David. David is trembling, but he's still trusting God. He's still praising God. That's the whole key. It didn't say that fear is not going to come. Because the Bible said, yeah, I'm not giving this foot of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But fear is still going to come. Fear is going to come in our flesh, man. It's going to come because flesh don't want to die. And that's the first thing that we have to start practicing, how to die. Die to this world. This is how you overcome fear. Because as long as we want to live in this world and stay in this world, fear is going to overcome us, going to overtake us. But when we start dying to this world, when fear comes, it won't have no influence. So I can't enter there. It's coming from everywhere. Tornadoes, earthquakes. They're expecting a super earthquake to hit America. They're conjuring up. They're planning when they want to perform this magnetic, whatever they want to do, that's going to shake the earth, going to move the axis of the earth in America. The axis of America. That's going to crack down there and cause the earth to open and kill thousands of thousands, if not millions of people. Because they're telling this stuff, that don't mean that we're going to run hiding somewhere. We're still going to preach the gospel. It might take my house. It might take my car. It might take my family. It might take me. But we're still going to preach the gospel. We're still going to give God glory. Why? Because this is our assignment. And we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know this. I tell you, I'm not going to keep you now. I got a part two of this message. We were going to go into the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, the book of Matthew, book of Revelation, book of Psalms, book of Matthew. We're going to hit this thing another time. We're moving with God. We want to talk. We want to get deeper into the worship. We want to get deeper into worship. Into worship. Because how important it is that doesn't matter what we're going through. When we begin to worship him, we break the atmosphere. We penetrate the atmosphere when we begin to worship him in spite of what's happening. People are surrounding David. His enemies are coming against him. They seem to be like lions and bulls, huge bulls coming around him. That's how he was seeing them. His body began to quake. His bones began to shake inside. He said he's poured out like water. Hallelujah. You can imagine how he was feeling. This is a warrior. He's a warrior. He's not a soldier. He's a warrior. There's a difference between a soldier and a warrior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But he's standing in the battle. Trust in God. Listen to what he says. My strength is dried up like a fragment of clay pottery. With thirst, my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you have brought me into the dust of death. Oh, my God. John chapter 19, verse 28. Hallelujah. For like a pack of dogs, they have compassed me. A company of evildoers has encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. Jesus on the cross. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. John chapter 19, verse 37. I can count all my bones. The evildoers gaze at me. Luke 23, verse 27 and verse 35. They part my clothing. Remember all this they did to Jesus. Among them and cast lot for my raiment, a long shirt-like garment, a seamless on the tunic, John 19, 23 and 24. David is saying everything here that he had done to Jesus. And David comparing his thoughts, he knows that he's not worthy. But God is. That's the way the scripture is in here. Be not far from me, O Lord, for my head hastens to aid me. For my head hastens to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my dear life, my only one, from the power of the dog, the agent of execution. Save me from the lion's mouth, for you have answered me kindly. From the horns of the wild oxen. Oh, my God. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. John chapter 20, verse 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Hebrews chapter 2 and 12. You who fear, revere and worship the Lord. Praise him, all you offsprings of Jacob. Glorify him. Fear, reverence, or revere and worship him, all you offspring of Israel. David said you got to praise him. A lot of stuff is going to happen, but we that know our God, the Bible says, we will do great exploits. We have to praise him in spite of all that we're hearing and seeing. I heard an apostle say something the other day that would just move my spirit to another dimension. I tell the truth. You can't be moved by everything you're seeing and hearing on the internet or in the news. Mm-hmm. You take heed to it. You take heed to it. In other words, you prepare yourself when you see these things are happening. Because Jesus told us that all these things are going to happen. If you look at Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Jesus said all these things are going to happen before he returns. The end is not yet, he said, but all these things are going to happen. So he said, don't be surprised. What you need to do is spend some time with me in your prayer closet. Go in your prayer closet and spend some time with me. Because I got all of these things in control. All of these things cannot happen without my knowledge. I see and I hear all things. I can do all things. Jesus said. Listen what David says. Excuse me. He says, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. Jesus does not keep back. God does not keep back the thing that affects us from affecting us. He is with us to keep us, to help us go through. Bishop, you were talking about Psalm 23 the other day. Yes, it's in my spirit now. We go through the valley of shadow death. We don't stay in the valley of shadow death. Why? Because he sees us through the valley of shadow death. The valley of shadow death don't have no power over us. We're not in it. We're going through. True. It didn't say we stay in the valley of shadow death. I like that, Bishop. That was so powerful. We're going through. We're not going to stay in our tribulations. We're not going to stay in our trials. Because he told us that. We're in Palestine. Palestine don't have us. Listen, we're going to finish here in a short minute. Listen. Oh, my God, I tell you. Ooh. He said, the poor and afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord, they who diligently seek for, inquire of and for him, and require him as their greatest need. See, in spite of all that we are dealing with, let's go back up to verse 25. I didn't hit this one. He says, my praise shall be of you in the great congregation. I will pray to him my vows, made in the time of trouble. Thank God, Jesus. Before them who fear, revere, and worship him. See, in the midst of the trials and tribulations, we got to pay our vows. Folks, I'm not doing nothing. I'm not giving anything. I'm not doing anything. I'm going through. I'm doing this. No, you still got to go. The woman that had too much, she couldn't go down to steak and cheese and buy a steak and cheese. She had enough money. She couldn't go down to Popeye's or Kentucky Fried Chicken and say, let me get a 6-pack or 10-pack, 20-pack, a bucket of chicken. She didn't have enough money. But she sold all that she had because she needed more. Her need was greater than what she had. But she got rid of it with joy. She didn't give her last mite complaining. I don't know if I'm going to be able to put food on the table. She was a widow. She had no children. She had no husband. All she has, equivalence to what they said in the Bible, is idiot sense. 2 mics. She gave it up. He says, our praise, my praise shall be of you, God, in the great congregation. I will pay to him my vows. Men in the time of trouble, in the time of trouble, you're still being blessed. Do you know that? In times of trouble, when my son is acting up, my daughter's acting up, my niece and nephews are acting up, I'm still being blessed. God is still blessing me. He's protecting me. He's healing me. So in the time of trouble, I still got to pay my voice before them who fear. I got to let them see that I'm still standing on God's promises. People are looking at us. Are you giving up? Are we throwing the towels? They want to see how we're standing. Because so much stuff is going on. Folk are coming at us right now because of who we are and who we are. He said, let's jump down to verse 27. He said, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. This is what God says. And all the families of the nations shall bow down and worship before you. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, heaven and on earth, and under the earth, that he's Lord, to the glory of God. So what they're saying, worship. Worship is the key. Demons going to worship him. They're going to have to bow. Because he's the sovereign Lord. He's the one that sits high and sees low. We got to understand this. We got to get this thing in our spirit, man. He says, for the kingship and the kingdom are the Lord's. Listen to what he says. Everything belongs to the Lord. The authority, the power, the honor, that's the kingship. And the kingdom, the people, are the Lord's. It's not the business. He's not worried about the business. We are his kingdom. And he is the ruler over the nations. All the mighty ones upon earth shall eat in thanksgiving and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. Do you hear what God says? Even the one that thinks that he can keep himself alive, but he can't keep himself alive, going to have to bow before him. I'm telling you something here. Posterity shall serve him. They shall tell of the Lord to the next generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born, that he has done it. That is finished. That it is finished. Jesus said on the cross before he gave up his ghost, John chapter 19:30, it is finished. We got to tell a new generation. There's not too many people talking. There's not too many people telling that. You ask some of the young people about crucifixion. They said, I watched a man who's a, you got the Bible. I got the Bible too from Living Waters. And he asked the young people at the colleges. He go around the colleges. Have they heard about the crucifixion? And the young people said, what's that? I never heard about that. They're 19, 20 years old in college and don't have a clue what the crucifixion was. Because nobody telling them. They're telling them how to be a representative for the LGBTQ A1A. They're telling them all this stuff, how to be a drag queen and represent the drag queens. They're telling them all about this stuff. That's what they're teaching our children in the schools. They're not teaching them true history about the life and death of the Savior and the resurrection of the Savior. They don't tell them that stuff. They took it out of school. You can't even play in the school. It was helping the kids. Now the kids got TikTok and all this stuff on their cell phones. They don't even go to school without the cell phone. They have to have the phone in school. And I see them on the TV, and the in the school, and the girl, the boy got the phone down between the legs, texting. Watched the show last night. Real life thing. And the teacher, this Caucasian man, he says, the girl was fooling with a phone. And he said, give me the phone. And he was very adamant somewhere down Oklahoma, somewhere in them states down there. And he was very adamant about that. He said, give me the phone. She started crying. She didn't want to give the phone. And she started to get him out. He said, I don't know how to teach. I can't teach. Because the kids today are not like the kids before. I grew up. I've cared about the world, cared about stuff. All they care about is the electronics. The phone, the computer, all this stuff. You hear about the woman, the children that broke everything in the mother's house? From the living room to the bathroom, broke the toilet, broke the sinks, broke the microwave, broke the stove, broke everything. Cut the bed, cut the sofa, cut the easy chair, the recliner, all that stuff because the mother took the cell phone. If that child had a gun, it would have killed the mother. It would have killed the mother. And the mother had a video made, put it out. Crying! If I had done that day, my mother was alive, it would have been the last thing that I did living in Barbados. It would have been the last thing. To me, to disrespect her and tear her stuff up that she worked real hard. Today, the kids can do all that stuff. And if you try to chastise them, they call CPS on you. Child Protective Service. And they will come and put us in handcuffs. Because they control the children. We got to get back in this country, in our country. We got to get back to a place where the government no longer have control over the children, but the parents do. We got to push for that, to get back control over our children, that we can, not that we want to run the children like sergeants, but we want to get back to a place where we can teach the children what obedience is all about, what trust in the parents, you know, honoring the parents is all about. This is why the kids are dying so much. Dying. You know, the Bible says, on their father and their mother, that their life may be lying in the land that God giveth thee. But they don't. Children are dying young today because they don't have no respect for the parents. They don't honor the parents. The Bible don't lie. So when we say, oh my God, she was so young. He was so young. They commit suicide. They hung themselves. One of my friends, Ben's friend, my son's friend, when we were living in Virginia, his brother, they went in the house, and the brother went out in the shed, depressed. Just went outside. Put a rope in the ceiling and hung himself. Young man. This is what happens. Because when you honor your parents and the parents spend time to share the love of Christ with you, you're not going to hang yourself. You're not going to shoot your parents. You're not going to shoot up the neighborhood, you know. You're going to know what love is, how to love somebody else, how to care for somebody that's not your family. You're going to know all that stuff. But today we can't do that because the government take away parental care from the parents. Well, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. Lord, you caused me to sweat today. You spoke to me so strong today that you brought a sweat on my body. You caused the water to fall off my head. And my soul is so filled right now. Lord, I pray that as this word goes forth over the airways, that somebody would hear it and somebody would truly start to meditate on it and get what you are trying to convey through us, Lord, this word that we are speaking that you have given us for your people. Lord, we know that it's not us, but it's you. And we ask that you touch the hearts of men and women today, even as my brother Bishop comes on and do what you have ordained him to do. Lord, I ask you to strengthen his eyes, O God. Strengthen his eyes, Lord, that he begin to see clear. And strengthen his body. Lord, strengthen all our bodies, because we're getting old. We're growing old together. Hallelujah. Strengthen our bodies, Lord, that we'll be able to stand solid, put our feet down solid, knowing that you are the one that's keeping us. And we can do what you call us to do, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Come on in, Bishop. I'm finished. I have complete my assignment for today. Whew. I'm finished, Bishop. I'm finished, Bishop.
I'll get on to him, Apostle. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Apostle. Good day, everyone. God be all the honor, glory, and praise. Father, I come to you today to urge everyone to accept you as their Savior, God. And for those who have backslidden, prodigal sons and daughters who have went out and squandered before their inheritance, but the only difference is that it was done long ago by the prodigal son. The people are doing it today by the millions. Oh, I urge everyone in the sound of my voice to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We all need him. He is the only way. Through the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. If you go to the book of Acts, chapter 4, if you have a Bible, go to the book of Acts, chapter 4, and read from verses 10 through 12, chapter 4, where it says that there's only one name that we should be baptized by, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only name given under heaven, to mankind, that we should be saved. We shall be saved. He's the only way. Is Jesus the way? Now, in the book of Romans, in chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, the word of God says, what does it say? It says, the only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, here, your salvation is near you. It's in your mouth. Which means you must speak it out. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now all you have to do is make that short confession, but you must believe. You must believe in your heart. Believe in your say it out your mouth. And believe it in your heart, knowing that Jesus has died for our sins. Some people are tempted by the devil not to say this because the devil knows he can't read your mind. That's why the word of God says you must speak it out loud. Your salvation is near you. It's in your mouth, which means you must speak this confession. You speak it, put it in the atmosphere. Now the devil knows that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and that the enemy is not the way, only Jesus Christ. He is the only name mentioned in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He's the only name mentioned in the Bible that you shall be saved by. No other name, no other false God, nothing people tell you can clearly state that in the book of Acts, as I told you in chapter 4. Now, if you've made that confession and you believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins, you know, and you speak it out, you're now saved. Very simple. Very simple. And, you know, God sent Jesus to us to take all of the pains and sufferings that he went through that we could not be able to handle. Jesus was the only one. And you must repent if you made this confession. And repentance is not returning to the previous way that you were living, doing whatever it was that you were doing that was out of God's will. You know, resist him. Repent. He's going to try and tempt you, but repent. Repent. Just call on the name of Jesus. That's the first time of temptation. Call on Jesus. And ask him to forgive you for any bad thoughts you had. Or if you say something, it's like force of habit. The enemy preys on what he knows you're weak in. Some people use the name of the Lord God in vain. You know, if you say something and you say, oh, I swear, you know, I swear to God, don't do that. Don't swear to God. Don't do that. Repent. And as soon as you realize that you're calling the name of the Lord God Almighty in vain, repent. Repent. Be gone, Satan. You know, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And Jesus rebukes Satan for what he has tempted me to say or do. Don't get tempted to go back to fornication, whatever you're doing, using obscenity, overindulging in anything is gluttony. You know, stop. Do it anymore. Don't do it. And now, if you've made this confession, the next step, if you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I told you, it specifically says it in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. And that's why I put that out there first. Okay. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 41, read it for yourself. And the first thing Peter told the people who were to be baptized, repent. The first word he says, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And if you do this, it will be well with you and even your children. You know, separate yourself from this evil worldly things. Separate yourself from them. And don't associate with people who have caused you to go into these sins. You know, and if you have a friend who you were doing these kind of things with, if they start speaking to you and tell you, oh, tell us a dirty joke or something, don't do it. Don't do it. That's what repentance is, not returning. Okay. Now, when you get baptized, make sure that whoever baptizes you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as it does in the book of Acts. And you shall let the world know an outward sign of baptism that you have been, you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So some people have the gift of the Holy Spirit and don't even know that they do. You know, they say things. They don't know that they have that gift. Just start speaking in tongues and something is going to wake you up. The Holy Spirit is going to wake you up. Say, hey, you're speaking in tongues. Read your Bible. and read the scriptures every day. If it's just a sentence out of every book, every day, every page, read a sentence. And pretty soon you read the whole Bible. It'll take you a long time to do it, I'm saying, pretty soon. But read your word. Study to show yourself approved. Try to help others to receive Jesus. You're an ambassador in Christ if you have received this word. Now I want to welcome everyone who received Jesus today as their Savior. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Read the Bible. Read the scriptures that I gave you. You're an ambassador in Christ. The more souls you gather for Christ, the more you will be rewarded. The more you will be rewarded. I urge you. And at this time, this day and age, it's not well. We don't have much time for the thoughts. The Lord, this is salvation is near because the Lord is at hand. The world is about to come to its knees. Be in a rush to panic when it gets here. Do it now. Don't be in a rush. Receive Jesus as your Savior today. I urge you. And if you're a prodigal son or daughter, I strongly urge you to do it. Rededicate your life to Christ Jesus. For he is the only way. God bless each and everyone. And have a blessed and wonderful day. And you'll notice that things are going to look up much better for you. Hallelujah. Glory to his holy name. Apostle, I'm through. It's back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank God for you. We pray God continue to strengthen you and keep you in the land of the living. We pray that God energize you. God continue to empower you. God touch your eyes, touch your ears, and your lips of clay that you would continue to see and hear and speak that which thus says the Lord. We declare strength over your body. We declare healing over your body. We speak this by the Spirit of our Almighty God, Yeshua. We pray that God will just strengthen your nerves. Everything about you be strengthened right now. Nehemiah said the joy of the Lord is his strength. And I declare that the joy of the Lord is your strength. That no weapons formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, we condemn it right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we declare that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up the standard for my brother right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, I declare that you're putting the robe of righteousness on him. Lord, that you're covering him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet and the same for his wife, Lord. Lord, we speak this, O God, with love and compassion, mercy and grace that you have placed in my heart, Lord, for these people, Lord. We pray, God, that you continue to keep them, Lord. Keep them as the apple of your eye, Lord. Lord, allow them to see and hear even more. Oh, God, as you speak with them in the nighttime, the daytime, whatever time, Lord God, they hear more, see more, receive more, God. Lord, touch their bank accounts, Lord, and cause their bank accounts to overflow. Lord, touch their barns and cause their barns to be overflowed, God. Lord, yes, their barns, Lord, cause their barns to overflow, God. Lord, let them have more than enough, Father God. I ask you, Father God, Lord, set up angels at the four corners of their home, oh God. Set an angel at the front door, the back door, Lord God. Let one even stand on the roof, God. Lord, that the enemy will not come through the roof, oh God. Lord, we ask you to surround their property, oh God, with heavenly protection, Lord God. That when they sleep, God, they sleep restful, Lord God. Lord, they would have no type of worry, knowing that you have already set up the host, heavenly host, oh God, as their protectors, oh God. Father, we are careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Well, the line is open. If anyone wants to come on in and make a prayer or sing a song, or if you want to relate to what you hear, add to what you hear, the Lord gives you the willingness to do so now. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Apostle, for the prayer. Oh, my God. Thank you.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure to do prayer when the Lord told me to pray. I pray. So we thank God for you. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Pastor, for so much that I heard in the time that I was on the line and the scripture. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless everyone on the line that I heard. Brother James, the brother of Jesus, saying, count it all joy in your various trials, for it will work a patience within you. It'll help you to endure. It'll help you to learn how to wait. To wait on the Lord. And to understand that temptation will come. Trials, affliction, tribulation. It all comes in the way of a Christian. When we have made up our minds to be dedicated to the work, doing the work, working by faith, walking by faith and not by sight. We are going to have these trials. Our faith will be tested. We will be tested as parents, Christians. We'll be tested in relationships. We'll be tested when it comes to finances. And I was hearing all of this while you were preaching. I can relate where our children are concerned. You know, Apostle, I can relate. And tough love has to come into play. There is a saying that people say, I can do bad all by myself. That's very true. But we had better allow people to go through, especially anybody. We got to consult the Lord when it comes to our giving, counsel, whatever it is that we're being asked to do. We have to ask the Lord, what should I do? What should I say? Where should I? Should I? Because certainly the Lord can, and we can help people do bad. We want to help people do good, but we can help people do bad. And you really did speak wisdom. Wisdom to parents who may be struggling with a decision about what to do on behalf of their children. And sometimes we just have to say, we just have to back off and say no when we have heard from the Lord. And we know we can't help them to do bad. That's what I was hearing. The same is, I can do bad all by myself. But we can't be a part of that. That's like being, if you're around when somebody's murdering somebody and you know they're doing it, it's like you're an accessory to it. You know, you become an accessory in their crazy making behavior. I always call it crazy making behavior because it's a crazy thing to do something without the proper wisdom, without consulting the Lord. It's crazy. But then people just don't understand. They don't understand how it works, and they don't understand that the Lord is there for us. But we have to follow the guidelines. We have to use the wisdom that he is willing to give us liberally. We can ask him for wisdom in a certain situation. And Apostle, you know, we've been through over here where our children are concerned. But it comes a time when we just know we got to back off. We got to back off and not help them to do things that's not good for them. And so thank you for sharing that. You didn't have to talk about it. But it's going to help parents. It's going to help people, not just parents, but even friends who may call and ask for help. And it's the same old, same old, same old. The same thing. They on this merry-go-round. It's the same old, same old. It's a vicious cycle, and it's the same thing every time. And that's because there has to be a change in their lives. It has to be a change. We got to make that change, and we got to trust the Lord. We have to learn how to make a change and trust God. So that was so good what you shared. We're not too prideful to share some of the most intimate things that goes on in our lives because it's going to help somebody else. It's going to help someone else to get to thinking and to get to the Lord and say, God, what should I do, instead of just going off and doing something on our own. And sometimes we help people to do worse by getting involved when we shouldn't get involved. And so thank you. For that testimony there. Glory be to God. And if we continue to stick to what we know is right, it's going to work out all right. It's going to be all right on our behalf, because we just cannot always help people when they call for help. We have to consult the Lord. And then you said sometimes, you know, you're tempted to go somewhere that the devil will come in and tempt us to do things that we shouldn't do. It's not the right time. God has perfect timing for everything. And I was hearing that. Just depend on the Lord. And you said, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Just be quiet and be still. Be still and know I'm God, he said. Just be still. And you talked about the worship. And when we worship God, it pleases him, and then we will be led in the right direction. If we just be quiet, worship God. Worship is so important. He said, I am seeking those that will worship me. Worship him with your thoughts, with your decisions, with your doings, whatever is going on in your life, just worship God. And it doesn't have to be long, long prayers and all of that. Just say, God, I trust you. You know, and I just love the way you did the message. I missed about a half hour of it, but I thank God that the Lord woke me up in time to hear the rest of it, and I will go back and listen from the beginning. But I overslept. But thank God he woke me up to hear the message. Praise God. And you talked about when Jesus was tempted. The enemy will come at your weakest point. Just know he's coming. When we're doing the work of the Lord, the enemy is going to come. He's going to come to try to tempt us to do wrong, to get off and get out of the way of what the Lord is having us to go through. You know, we got to go through. But the enemy will come in and try to tempt us to stop in that vein that we're going, in the ways of the Lord, to stop us. Because there's something that God is trying to get you to. There's something God is trying to give to you, get you to, get you through, get you stronger in him, learning how to trust him, having that faith in trusting God. He puts us through those trials and those tests to strengthen us. That's why James said, count it all joy. Be thankful. Be thankful. And I believe you said that. Just be thankful. No matter what you're going through, just be thankful. Because it's going to work. It's all going to work out for you good. Be thankful, be grateful, and praise God all through the trial, all through the affliction. because God is going to work it out. We trust God. The message is about trusting God and knowing that we're going to go through trials and tribulations. When you begin to do the work of the Lord, when you begin to do what's right by God, the enemy is going to come to try to stop you, to cause resistance. Resistance, that's what he wants to do so you can resist praising the Lord, worshiping God, praying. He wants to stop us from doing that because he knows that that's what we have to do in order for God to bless our lives. He knows that. I mean, when he went to Jesus to tempt Jesus, he's going to tempt us also. That's why the prayer says, deliver us from evil, Lord. From all evil, God, deliver us. Meaning, God, help us. Help us in times of temptation. Help us, Lord, when we are faced with difficult decisions. Help us, Lord, to know what to do, what to say, or just to be quiet. Know when to say no, know when to say yes. We need the Lord for everything. Hallelujah. So thank you for sharing. You know, Jesus said it was finished. When it's finished, it all has been done for us. And all we have to do is trust God, and the word will work for us because the word himself is working it out. Amen. This is what you're saying to us. Wait on the Lord. Don't give in to the temptation. David, while he was on the run, while that evil King Saul was trying to kill him, he could have messed it all up. He could have messed it up for himself. He could have, if he had killed Saul like he could have done when he was so close to him with the sword, when he cut his garment, he was right there. He was tempted to kill him. He was tempted. The devil wanted him to kill Saul. He wanted him to kill Saul at that moment. He could have killed him, but he didn't because God kept him from evil. We need God to keep us from the evil thing and not listen to the devil, because he would have aborted the plans that God had for him to be king. He could not murder Saul. He could not murder that evil king that didn't want to feed his people and give his people bread and water. He could have murdered him, but instead, the king's wife gave him sound advice. Don't do it. Don't do it. And she became his wife. She became his wife. That old king died. He died. I believe he had a heart attack. Big, greedy self had a heart attack. I believe he had a heart attack, Apostle, while he was eating. I think that's how it went. I'm going to have to go over the story. But see, that's what happens. When they do evil, God will destroy. And then I heard you saying something about there's going to be an earthquake or something. I didn't hear all of that. I heard something about it, but if you don't mind relating, you know, saying that again about the about some earthquake that they're trying to do or make it happen.
Yes, they're planning to send it. A mega earthquake that's going to start from, I think that's California, the East Coast or West Coast, that is going to rip up. It's going to rip up all through California, coming on down through the middle of the country, and thousands, if not millions, of people are going to die because they already got everything in works. It's already in motion. You know, it's just for them to release. These people are. You know, and it's strange how folk get wisdom, but they use their wisdom for destruction because they want to play gods. You know, they want to play gods. Like, we have the power. We have the power. And they don't believe in the same God that we believe in. I mean, they say they're Christians. I mean, they say they're Christians. Even the president that we have right now, see, he's a Christian. But he don't believe in the same God that we serve. Now, not the same one that we serve. Because nobody can believe in the same God that we serve and do the things that you're doing that's hurting mankind. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, I respect him because he's my president. You know, he's my president. Yeah, because he's the president of the United States, so he's my president. But what he does, I don't respect. You know, when you're doing things to hurt mankind, you are going against God's rule. You know, but the thing is that we got to understand. All of us got to understand that God puts them in. Every person that's in authority, God puts them in authority. And he's the same God that moves them out of authority. You know, he puts them in authority, and he moves them out of authority. You know, he put King Saul. You know, he told the prophet, go and anoint King Saul to be king. Because they wanted a king.
They wanted a king.
And the prophet went and anoint Saul to be king. And then he told the same prophet, so look, I first saw God is something. God is amazing, man. He told the prophet, prophet that he told to go a night song. He said, look, I first saw. He said, and I don't really know why you keep wearing a boot saw, why you keep bombarding my ear gates with saw. You know what I think about it? You know, you study God's word, you go back and look at it to another.
Yeah.
Vision, it blows your mind. I mean,
it really does.
He just saw. He told the prophet, he said, look, I really don't know why you're wearing the book. Saw, seeing that I already fired him. I have already demoted him. You know?
Amen.
Stop worrying about him. Stop bothering me about him, you know. You're concerned about him, and I already fired him. Lord, Jesus, I was... And you don't want to be on job for God and God, no, God fail. You just don't want to be.
No,
that's not the place that we want to be.
Already took the kingdom from him, so there's no need.
That's right.
But what's so good about David is that he praised God while he was going through. Even when he did wrong,
that's right.
He did repent when it was brought to his, you know, that's so powerful too, that story about when he was in denial. He was in denial of his sin. You know, it's like, who is that man you're talking about when the prophet goes to him and tells him all these things about this horrible, evil person? And y'all know the story. And he was talking to David about him. But David didn't see that. But
that's
he was
right.
ready to, who is this guy? Who is this person? Because he got to go. I'm going to destroy him. He got to go. But see, he wasn't thinking about.
They want to take him out.
About.
Tell me who he is. I'll go take him out.
I'll go take him out. Tell me who he is. And the prophet tells him, "You're that guy. You're that guy. Oh, now
you're that guy, David.
You're that guy, David.
My
now
Lord.
The plot changed. You know, so we're quick to point the finger at others. We're quick to talk about what should happen to other people. What about us? What about us? Do we forget that we did a lot of terrible things and that God had grace and mercy? You know, God poured out his mercy and his grace on us. So we forget that. We forget some of the wrong that we did. Now, God doesn't want us to dwell on it. But what he did was he brought the prophet to him so that he would give him, because God could have taken David out after what he did. You know, but we see the love of God. We see the mercy of God, and then we see that God is giving you a chance to get this right, David. I'm giving you a chance to get this right. Committed murder. You had an innocent man murdered so you could have his wife. The plot just got thicker and thicker because you can't cover lies. Lies are always going to be exposed. God will expose. So he's showing us that I'm going to expose evil. You cannot hide from God. God knows exactly when the thought was incubated in your mind. God knew about it. And he knew about
That's
it.
That's right.
So That's why we got to keep saying that prayer. Deliver us all from evil, oh God, so that we
can
deliver us, God. Deliver us from the temptation, oh God. And that's why Jesus said, be careful. Be careful. He told those disciples, you got to pray. You got to pray. You keep sleeping. And he's saying today to the saints of God, wake up, wake up, wake up and pray. Wake up, because that evil one is standing right in to destroy you. So he said, be careful lest you fall into temptation. Lest you fall into temptation because you're not praying. You're sleeping. You're not on your job. You're not on the watch. Glory be to God. We got to stay on the watch. So you brought so much out in this message, so many good wisdom, nuggets of wisdom, you know, about relationships, about praise and worshiping God. You know, all of it, it was just packed there for families to listen to, especially parents, because God is our Father, and God is our number one parent. He's our Father in heaven, and there's no other Father like him. And he wants the best for us. And he allows us to go through so we can get to what it is that he has us have for us. Going through to get to where God wants us to be in terms of wisdom and service to him, you know, teaching us how to walk holy, teaching us how to make those not try to make those decisions without him. Don't go there. Don't try to make decisions without him, because we're going to mess up every time if we allow our flesh to continue to dictate to us. So praise God. Thank God. It's so many points I wasn't writing down, but I had so much that stuck out in my memory, especially what James said, to count it all joy. Give God the praise while you're going through. Praise him anyhow. That's what you were saying. No matter what you're going through, because God got a plan. God's got a plan to bring you out. And when he brings you out, you come out with more understanding. You come out with more wisdom. You come out because you were rejoicing the whole time you were going through. You were rejoicing because, God, I know you're going to bring me out. I know you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Because I've seen what you've done before. I've seen it. You even mentioned about the things that God did in the Bible. Amen. You know, God goes through. He just pulls out all the plugs. Amen. Hallelujah. He does that. He pulls out every stop. My God, he goes the length that he will go. Only God knows what we need. Only God knows how much we need. And God just, he delivers his people. He'll deliver us from all evil if we just allow him to. If we just give it all up to him. Just give it up to him and trust him. I mean, I had a tough decision. I had a tough decision to make a couple of weeks ago. You know, I had a phone call. And the person is telling me all about this stuff that's going on, and I don't have this, and I don't have that. But I'm looking at the way you're doing with your life. You continue to do the same thing over and over and over. You're going to get the same result. I'm not going to help you do bad. I'm not going to help you do bad. I'm not going to fall into that anymore. I've learned to say no, Apostle. We have to learn to say no. People got to learn the lessons for themselves. If we keep intervening, they'll never learn. They just won't learn. Because I can call on you. I could do what I want to do with my finances, with my life, but then I'm going to call on you when I get in trouble. I'm going to call on you to meet my needs, but I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what I want with my life. I'm going to do what I want with my finances. I'm going to do what I want with my family. But when trouble comes, I'm going to call you to bail me out. No, no. We can't help them do bad. Yeah, you sure enough can do bad all by yourself, because I'm not going to be no part of it. That's what they say. All I can do bad by myself. I don't need nobody to help me do bad. Well, you know what? You sure can do bad all by yourself. Since you don't want to call on the Lord, since you don't want to live for the Lord, but you want to call on people when you're in trouble. Call on people when you mm-hmm. want something, eat something. The lights is off, the water's off, the gas is off, it's cold, I'm hungry, I'm this. Well, what did you do with your money? What did you do with your money? What decisions that you made to get you where you are? You got to look at that. So I'm not going to help you do that. I'm not going to be accessory to that. I'm not. That's like being an accessory to a crime. Because it's a crime. It's sad, Apostle, that people do the same thing over and over and try to use you to get them out of trouble.
That's you, right. You know, that's right.
I mean, it's one thing when people have trouble because it happens. We've all needed help from time to time. But the same thing over and over and over. Come on now, something is drastically wrong here, and it's on them. It's on the decisions that you're making, and you want to call other people who have to pay their bills, other people who have to make responsible decisions, but then you want to call somebody to bail you out. No, you need Jesus. Mm-hmm. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus and ask Jesus to help you. They got to ask Jesus, Jesus, help me. Help me to get out of this vicious cycle. Help me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. Oh, God, destroy every chain, God, that's keeping me bound. It's a poverty mentality. It really is a poverty mentality. Just like David, he thought, I'm king. I can do what I want. He had the big head. I can do what I want. I'm the king. So, but no, you can't always do what you want to do. You have to do it and stay in line with the word of God. Do it in line with his precepts. Amen. And so I related so much to what you were saying, and we just have to just back off, but pray. And then
That's
we
right.
got to know when to just be quiet about it, because God already heard
That's
the
right.
prayer. God heard the prayer and said, God, I just thank you, Lord, that you have your will, God. I thank you, Lord, that your will be done. And that's it. Lord, it's in your hands, God. Have your way, God. That's it. That's it, because you already prayed the prayer. And God may not want to, God just don't want to keep hearing that. You see? Just praise him. Worship him. And God is working it out. He's turning it all around for our good. Amen. Glory be to God. So thank you, Apostle. There's so much more I could say, but I know, you've already, I mean, you really preached it so wonderfully, so beautiful, and with such tenacity and compassion. When you preach, there's so much compassion and love in your preaching. And we just thank God, hallelujah, that you taught us. You preached, but you taught us. Amen. And it's about teaching people. We can preach and hoop and holler. And these preachers want to entertain people, giving motivational speeches and all that. That ain't helping. That's not helping. No, we have to teach. We can preach, because you know the preacher going to come out of the preacher. It's going to come out. If you're a preacher, it's coming out. Even while you're teaching, you'll start preaching. But the thing is we have to teach people. Teach people by the word of God. Using the word of God as our guidelines, amen, in every area of our lives. Glory be to God. So I just thank God, again, another powerful message from the Lord, and resisting temptation. I don't know what the topic is. I didn't look at the topic last night. But I know that I heard we have to resist the temptation. We got to resist the devil, because he is going to come. And it kind of lets us know that I must be doing something decent. If you know your walk is, if you know you're walking right, if you know you're walking with the Lord, then when these things come, it's for a purpose. God allows it for a purpose, to make you stronger, to keep you in your faith, to have those experiences with him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I think I'm done, Apostle. I would love to say more, but I'm gonna stop here because we've heard so much this morning. I missed about 25 minutes, but I got so much in the time that I did hear what you were saying. I heard you. I heard the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's good for all of us. This message is so good, and I will send it out. I will send this message out because so many people are struggling with decisions today. You know, the enemy is going to come in to try to tempt us to do evil. Tempt us to get out of the way of God and do our own thing.
Yeah, thank you so much, Apostle, for that great response. I don't know if you have an appointment for tomorrow, but if not,
I have to get Peter his phone. I'm going to be going to New Orleans in the morning, and I have to get Peter the phone and get him some things. Going to New Orleans because you know his phone had been stolen. I hadn't got his phone for him yet, so I do have to do that in the morning. My son-in-law is going to pick me up after he drops Cordy to school. So we're going to go and take care of some business for
you got to get him one of them cars that he can
available.
Take the phone off.
Bishop has an appointment tomorrow, too, so it's going to be a busy day tomorrow.
No problem, no problem.
No, you pray for us all the time.
I'll come on in. I'll come back in and do part two tomorrow. I already got the scriptures for it anyway, so I'll come on in with part two tomorrow. And we'll be praying for you guys while you're going down to New Orleans. Keep you all covered. Keep Bishop covered while he go on his appointment. You know.
Stay prayed up. You know, these are just appointments it's not nothing bad. It's just he has to have his heart checked. It's time for him to have his echo. And so he's going to be going down to veterans to have that done. But he's okay. It's just that it's time to have it. And, you know, every 6 months.
I get my check all the time.
Every 6 months. Yeah, because we need to do that, keep up with our bodies and know what's going on. But
I see my cardiologist every 6 months now. So every 6 months, they check my heart to make sure that the muscles are still doing what it's supposed to do, you know.
Yeah.
But we trust God. We trust God all the time. We trust God for President Bishop, too.
Amen.
No.
Yes. I just had my echo. I had my echo a couple of months ago, and it turned out really well.
Did you all get the package yesterday?
Did get the package. I was going to say that. Praise God. But we didn't get it till late because, you know, they deliver these packages all hours around here. So Bishop said, we got a package, but it was too late. I didn't want to bother you last night. It was late when we got the package. It was sitting. Was it in the mailbox? It was in the mailbox, but they don't ring the bell anymore. When you get packages like that, they just don't ring the bell. Instead of ringing the bell to let us know, or they just drop it off, you know? So
Amazon does the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's terrible. They shouldn't do that. And they're getting really bad with Amazon. Big boxes. Sitting on the porch.
Yep.
Sitting
right in front of the house.
One time we had like 8 boxes sitting out there, that the veterans had sent for Bishop. And here it is sitting in front of the door. We didn't even know because sometimes we don't get downstairs until afternoon. And, you know, we'll be on block talking. We're up here. We're not down there. And then we get down there. Here's a bunch of stuff in front of the door. So just thank God that he watches over our stuff, that he watches.
Yes.
They got so much evil going on in this world, but we thank God that he keeps us. He keeps us, and he watches.
Keeps us covered.
Said it last night.
That's right.
Thank God.
That's right.
Thank God for the angels watching. God got us in a secure. He keeps us secure. Amen. No matter what's going on all around, and we just love the Lord, not just because of what he does, but because of who he is. Amen. So we thank God for you. But we will be with you. Tuesday will be fine. And I'll try my best to give you. I'm going to be reading.
Okay, you'll all be good too, Mama.
Okay. I can do Tuesday and I can do Wednesday if you want me to, if you don't have anybody for Wednesday.
That'll be fine.
The Lord
be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, because we gotta do the work whether nobody else wanna come or not. We still have to do to do what we have to do. And the Lord will bless. The Lord will bless. Amen. It's all on the Lord. Glory be to God. Clear you up on what? Yeah, he did. No, he wasn't poisoned. Saul wasn't poisoned. He got killed with his own sword. He wanted to fall on his sword. He had gotten injured. And he told his servant, he told one of the other soldiers, huh? I believe Jonathan died before him. We got to go back to the story. Didn't Jonathan die before his dad? Jonathan was killed in battle. Went with his dad to battle.
He got killed in battle. Saul died by his own sword.
By his own sword. And that's the way he wanted it. He didn't want to.
When the servant came and told David, David had the servant put to death because he thought that the servant should have. The servant from the other army come and tell him, well, I saw him and says, David, like, you ain't doing nothing to save the king? You know, David was still, even though, you know, David was amazing. He was an amazing warrior. Even though the Saul wanted to kill him, he was still wanting to protect Saul's life. You know that?
And isn't that like?
He was still wanting to protect Saul. He said, look, he told his soldiers, look, take him somewhere, take the man somewhere. Take him out there and cut off his head. Just take him out there and kill him.
My God. My God. But the thing
for
is
us,
that
we would want to kill Saul. And I like when you were sharing that too, but David was right there. I mean, right then, Saul was just like me. He was snoring loud. You could hear him 10 miles. He was snoring.
Yeah.
You know he was dead sleeping. And David had the opportunity to cut off Saul's head. Cut off his head.
Did.
David just took off the skirt, took off the end of his skirt, and kept it to serve
Saul.
Right, I could have killed you. I could have killed you, but, you know,
I
respect you as my king, as the man of God. He said, I respect you as God's king. I'm not going to kill you. I didn't kill you. Wow.
Yeah, that's right. That's a wow
that
right there. That's God. God gave him that wisdom. God kept him. He kept him from evil. He kept him. It wasn't his place to do that. He belonged to God. That's God. He said, you're God's king. And he respected that, even though he was so mean and hateful and wanted to kill him. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. And that's such a good lesson for us. We don't have to. We're not supposed to do this retaliation stuff. God said, it is mine. And we're not supposed to retaliate.
Right.
We're not supposed to try to get people back and do evil because they did evil to us. No, God will deliver us from evil. He will do that. All we have to do is stand and do all the stand on the word of God. That's all we have to do and have faith in God. And God will get us through anything. No matter what the trouble is, he's going to fight that battle. He's going to provide. You talked about the woman with the two mites. I didn't know it was only 88 cents, but I knew it was just a small amount. But she still talked about, that's right, and God honored her. He honored her giving more than the others that had given a whole lot because she gave this from her heart. She gave her best.
From her heart.
She gave out of poverty.
That's right.
She gave out of her poverty, and I know God blessed that woman. I know he blessed her. She gave willingly with this all she had. She could have went and bought some bread with that. She could have bought something with that 88 cents back then, you know, but to the Lord, you know. And they're looking at her like she's repulsive. That's just, you know, imagine the people that's looking at her and seeing that she gave such a little, but she gave out of her poverty. And God blessed it.
That's right.
She still talks about today, the woman with the two mites. No matter what, if you only got, and it speaks to our giving. If we only have $10, give it. Don't be ashamed to give $5, $10, $20, $2, $1, 50 cents. I remember one time all I had was pennies, and I put my pennies in the offering. That's all I had, Apostle. I couldn't write the check because the check was going to bounce. I didn't have no money. Thanks to give, but all I had was some change in my purse, at the time they were asking us to sew eight, and sew in eight, like 80, whatever, just with an eight. And I found 8 cents in my purse. I found 8 cents, pulled in 3 pennies, and put it in that envelope and put 8 cents on the outside. It didn't matter who saw. It didn't matter. I wasn't embarrassed by that. I gave what I had, and the Lord blessed us. He blessed us tremendously. He's still blessing us. Amen.
I got $20.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. But, you know, we praise God, and we praise him with our offering. When you give your best,
that's right.
You know, give something. Like I found some money that I didn't know I had. It was only $20. It was a money order I had. I had probably got a money order for one of the kids or whatever. And I don't know what happened, but I still had it. I'm going through some old papers, and I found the money. So I'm going to give it to the children. I'm going to give it. I'm going to send it. I'm going to send it to Black Talk. I'm not ashamed to send $20. I'm not ashamed to send a few dollars. You know, I'm going to send it. I didn't know I had it. I didn't know I had it, but I'm going to send it. Send it to the kids. Send it to somebody. You know, they could do a lot with $20 over there. They can put some food on it, but we can't do much with $20 over here. But I tell you what, God.
Not over here.
No, God can do much with it. Hallelujah. God will multiply us. Hallelujah. $18 for a pound of coffee. $18. You know, everything is so expensive. But God will multiply. God will multiply what we give. That same little $20, God will multiply, and it'll help somebody. It'll give somebody a meal. You know, it might buy, it'll buy something for somebody. So I want to just, I didn't know. I said, wow, look at this. Look at this. I'm just looking through, didn't even know I had it. Hallelujah. And guess what? 2018, that's how long I had it. 2018. Stuff. I don't need all these old papers. Let me get rid of this. And I say, wow. And it doesn't expire. A MoneyGram doesn't expire. No, it was a MoneyGram. I bought it. It's the money order, but I bought it from, you know, Walmart. From the money. We use the MoneyGram. But it doesn't expire. Praise God. So I'm going to send it. Hallelujah. You got to send
it. So how's that, the apostle doing, Apostle Minnie?
I don't know. She's not answering the phone again. I don't know. I've been calling. I haven't talked to her since last week.
Yeah, she must be over her. She must be over her sister.
No, she said, well, I don't think so, because the niece is now going to start working there. The veterans is going to pay her to do it. She's been hired by the veterans because Apostle Millie said she can't do it anymore. So she's not. I'm sure she has visited her sister since she left, but she's not going back, she said. She can't go back. She has too much pain going on, she said, in her body. And in view of everything that happened, she says she's not going back. So we'll see. But she's been going by the niece, helping her niece. She's helping other family members still. So it's very, very, it's very good that she does what she does. That's all I'm going to say about that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I will try to get her today. I tried to get her in the morning, tried to get her at night. Now, a lot of times when she's by her family, she doesn't answer the phone. So, or she says she didn't know, she don't get the phone calls all the time. So, but I'm praying she come back soon. I'm praying she come back to
too.
The line. Because God will help her and strengthen her. She can come back. I'm going to talk to her. When I get her on the phone, I'm going to talk to her about it. Amen. Amen.
Well, we got a few people on the line. If anybody wants to make a response, you can come on in now. If not, we're going to ask the bishop or apostle to pray and close us out, and we'll get out of here. It's Sunday. And we're going to go start cooking some stuff in the kitchen. And we will see you all on tomorrow if nobody else wants to come and respond. Line is open. Mm-hmm. Bishop, get ready.
Amen. Very quiet.
Okay, Brother Bishop, praise and close us out.
Amen. May the strength of God sustain us. May the hands of God protect us. May the power of God, may the hands of God protect us. May the power of God be with us. And may the eyes of God direct us. In Jesus' name we pray until we meet again.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Bishop and Apostle. And remember, we love you, but God loves you more. You are going to have good reports on tomorrow. You're going to accomplish what you got to do for Peter.
Amen.
And Bishop will have a good report. Good report, because you will have the report of the Lord, okay? And we will hear you all and see you all on the rebound. God bless you all. Have a blessed, peace evening. In Jesus' name. All right. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Amen.